Matt Gacy Fantasy Hour. We're back. A little bit different feng shui this morning. Yes, I said this morning. We're not recording at Odark 30 on Tuesday night after the huddle up stream. We're recording early Wednesday morning. It's myself. I am Mike. I am joined, as always, by Ryan, who is no longer sick.
Yep.
He is the Breakfast at Wimbledon landmark today. We have no Craig. Yeah, we have no Craig. Craig worked last night. He normally doesn't work Tuesdays. He is actually going out of town. He will be in New York for the Monday night football game, Seahawks-Giants, with his girlfriend and his brother. So hope they have fun. Hopefully Craig listens to this as he puts in his daily fantasy lineup, because we are going to talk about that later like we always do. But I guess let's talk about it first. I named this title as I was creating it. Do you actually need an ACL? Because we've lost another one to a knee injury. Mike Williams of the Los Angeles Chargers, he is done for the rest of the year. Blew it out in the victory against Minnesota. It looked like him and Herbert had finally started building a rapport in that game. I know he had a long touchdown catch. I think he went for like 35, because I have him in.
Did Keenan Allen throw that one, though?
I don't care who threw it.
Okay, I'm just,
I mean, I had him in Craig's Brothers League. I had Mike Williams, and looking at it, he had 7 catches for 121 yards and the touchdown.
Yep.
So 6 catches and however many yards from Herbert. Does that just say how bad Minnesota's defense is?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They've been exposed this whole season. I think there was a stat where it was one possession game that they were 6-0.
Last year they went like 7-0 in one possession games.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna happen this year.
Even if they go 50-50, that's the team you're looking at.
Yeah, yeah, you're
doing worse.
You're looking at 9-8 at best.
Well, I think pretty much the last 2 weeks it's been one possession games.
Correct. Is it time to trade Kirk Cousins?
I said that.
Trade him to the goddamn Jets.
They just signed. Did you see who they signed, by the way?
Yeah, Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, I mean, you rent Kirk Cousins for a year.
I don't think he has a year left on his contract. I think this is his last season.
That's what I'm saying. You rent him for this year.
10 weeks.
And you just see what you got. It's got to be better than Zach Wilson or Trevor Siemian.
Buddy, Sister Mary Catholic School of the Blind's better than Trevor Siemian.
And Zach Wilson. And don't leave out that guy.
He's a good backup somewhere.
Buddy, he looks atrocious this year.
But isn't Colt McCoy still available? Why would you bring in Trevor Siemian?
Hey, we were shitting on Dobbs too, by the way. And look at this guy.
Guy bald.
They were trying to fucking tank, and this guy's like MVPing it out there.
Yeah, he's like, tank? What the fuck do you mean? You mean like a fucking battleship? Like, because I'm not fucking losing games.
I was watching something. I guess they were walking through like the store at the stadium. They didn't even have his jersey on sale in the stadium.
Jesus.
He was looking around for his number, but he was after the game. He couldn't find it.
Coach used to see you bring your iPad.
Yeah.
No, because he won a game.
I agree with that. You know, if you could trade Kirk Cousins, do it. What do you get? What else are you going to do for it? Nothing. You're going to lose him anyway.
I mean, you're not going to win this division.
Nope.
All right, so that's that. We'll talk more on Mike Williams in a second, but before we get there, it's everybody's favorite part of the show, Desmond Ritter watch.
Not the rough Ritter.
We gotta get the Desmond Ritter watch out of the way. Through three games,
Young Hoku watch.
Young Hoku, my guy. Desmond Ritter through three games, 55 of 88 for a 62.5% completion ratio. For 553 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
That's about where I thought he would be.
After the shellacking that they took from the Detroit Lions on Sunday.
I can't believe they didn't even score a touchdown.
Get a tutter out of that. That was the Young Hoku watch.
That's what I'm saying. We got to change it.
Yeah, some Young Hoku.
And then Desmond Ritter stats.
Yeah, and then we mentioned the Desmond Ritter stuff. All right, so let's talk here. Obviously, the big news of the weekend was the Mike Williams injury. If Joshua Palmer and or Quentin Johnston is available on your waiver wires, they're probably guys that you're willing to take a flyer on because they're going to have to fill the role that was Mike Williams. If you have Keenan Allen, probably look for an even bigger workload these next couple weeks while...
Jesus, is there anything possible?
I mean, he's not hurt yet, so yes.
But he almost put... I think he put up his age in fantasy, 59 or 53 or something.
You did put up a shit ton, I'm not going to lie. I literally was looking at it. I don't think I played him in one league, but I think I... The guy who's in first place in Billy's league has him, and I was like, wait, did this guy just go for 100?
Yeah.
He scored 60 in Billy's league. 60.
Yeah. In the keeper league, I was facing the number one team because we were two, so it was a 1-2 matchup. Mm. Patrick Mahomes, Justin Jefferson, and Keenan Allen, dude. I think I almost dropped the two-piece on us.
Did they at least offer biscuits and fries?
No, two-piece, no biscuits, no fries.
God, you need to chug it
just
down.
Just right there, those three were just...
187.
Yeah.
Or no, 175. 175 you went for.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but it was mostly those three guys. I mean,
yeah. I got my first win in the Dynasty League this week.
Oh, I saw that, by the way. Congrats. Jesus Christ.
Matt Stafford. I would like to change my name to Evan McMoney Fearson because that was the reason why we won. Yeah. Going for 19. It could have been 24 if he would have hit that first one that he pushed right, but
I mean he was MVP that day.
That also would have got me a cover, but we're not here to talk about my sports betting problems.
No.
We have enough of those.
We'll do that.
Exactly.
Or we just bounce them off each other.
Yeah, exactly. Also, speaking of injuries, this is the Baltimore Ravens. If you're watching at home on YouTube, we're looking at their injury report right now. This ain't good. Marcus
seven
Williams.
What did we say? Seven defensive starters?
One, two, three, four, five. There's five that are questionable right now.
And then I think Dobbins, is he going to, and somebody, who else?
Gus Edwards is questionable. He had a concussion in the Colts game.
Yep. And then
Justice Hill is also questionable.
I think it was his foot.
Yep. Odell Beckham.
For the rest of the year.
Shocker. Surprised he made it through week three. Ronnie Stanley and Taylor Lindbaum, two offensive linemen. You're missing a starting safety. You're missing a starting linebacker, a starting corner. Oh, I'm sorry. You're missing two starting safeties.
Yeah.
Marcus Williams and Geno Stone, because Geno Stone got hurt. Rashad Bateman felt his hamstring tighten up during the contest. So that's another wide receiver that could be down. Oh, wow. Rashad Bateman got hurt. In other news, ice is cold. That guy can't stay healthy. Nope. And then you're looking down here at the guys in red. They put Tylan Wallace with a hamstring on injury reserve yesterday. Obviously, J.K. Dobbins. You know, the other guys that they're out just
so it showed in their performance too. I mean, Gardner Minshew fucking, you know.
Minshew Mania, baby.
Gotta love him. Gotta love him.
Uncle Rico.
Uncle Rico. Fucking right past that mountain.
Yeah. Do it over that bitch. The Carolina Panthers, Bryce Young is questionable. I don't know what his injury is. They don't really say anything. Jonathan Mingo, the rookie.
Ankle, they said.
That would make sense. Yeah. The rookie wide receiver Mingo is in concussion protocol. We'll see if he gets cleared. I don't even want to talk about the dumpster fire that is the Chicago Bears. Fuck them.
Ew.
Don't want anything to do with them. Cleveland, really, it's still the fact they lost Chubb and Conklin, but you know they looked really good against Tennessee. But is that because Tennessee's got awful, or is that because they actually are a good team? I guess we'll have to wait until they play somebody that actually plays defense.
Aren't you guys playing Tennessee this week?
We do.
So you'll find out. They're going to be, you know, that could be the Joe Burrow finally fucking throws a couple touchdowns show because their corners are god awful out there.
I mean, I'm okay if the defense does what it did against the Rams.
Correct.
I mean, I'll win games ugly until Joe feels right, but the defense has to keep doing what it's doing. And that may be one of the better games that defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo has called, you know, in the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
They got after Stafford early and often, you know, they made him uncomfortable.
They did.
You know, they got and the thing was is, and we talked about this yesterday. While Lou called a great game, I don't love the fact that Joe Burrow threw the ball like 55 times.
Correct. I agree with that statement.
With a fucked up calf. I get it. What they were doing was, and this is what they should do for the next couple weeks. It's kind of what the Miami Dolphins are doing with Tua Tagovailoa right now. Snap, two-step drop, get rid of it. If he's going to throw the ball 55 times a game, just don't let him stand back there and make guys run fly routes.
Or try to make plays with his legs.
Yeah. It's slams, it's curls. That's
when you start making a cut, a move like Rodgers did.
Correct.
And all it is pop, done.
Correct. So if you're going to throw the ball 55 times a game, it's got to be two-step drop slant, two-step drop curl, you know, on something underneath. And that's
what I said to you, too, yesterday. It didn't look like he could push it down the field. He could make those 10, 15 intermediate throws, but anything long, it just didn't have that zip.
And it also sailed on him. It looked like he was just kind of floating it out there.
I don't think he could push off that back leg, and it's his right leg. So, you know, you need to push off to get the ball 40, 50 yards down the field.
Yeah, he's definitely not comfortable.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I think they showed him on the sideline wearing
the heat wrap to keep it.
Yeah.
He even said after the game, he's like, it's always a risk to go out there and play through it. He's like, but there's also a risk that if I don't play, we're 0-3.
And I respect that, but I think they were 0-2. Was it last year?
They were 0-2 last year, and they made the playoffs. They made
the championship, so I understand the urgency to try to win now, but at what cost? Like, if I looked at this schedule,
I think me and Craig looked at it last week. It was the Rams, the Titans.
Yeah.
Hold on, I have it right here. Actually, it's
yeah,
the Rams.
To me, but I, what I was
the Rams, the is, Titans, Arizona, Seattle, and then the bye week.
What I was going to say is, you're already 0-2 in the division, and everybody you're playing is non-divisional. So at that point, if you're going to sit him for 2-3 weeks, this would have made time in the schedule to sit him.
I mean, honestly, if
correct or incorrect?
Oh, absolutely. I said it on the show last week. I said I would have went and signed Colt McCoy or a veteran guy like that. Yep. Let him learn the offense. Because this was the stretch. It's the Rams where if the defense plays like that, Colt McCoy could still probably would have won that game.
Buddy, I wouldn't even mind Carson Wentz if you sign him for 2-3 games. If he goes 1-3, cool. You know what I mean? He can look at a playbook and know what the fuck he's doing.
Couldn't be Jake Browning. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Then it's Tennessee this week. It's Arizona next week. It's Seattle. Then it's the bye week. And then coming out of the bye week, you go to San Francisco. You play Buffalo. You play Houston at Baltimore.
I would have tried him a quarter or two before the bye week, see how he was. Against, you know, if you needed a win, okay, bring him out before the bye week and then let him rest for 2 weeks, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I agree with you. It's one of those where if they're going to make the decision to have him play through it for the rest of the season, then we're just going to play with fire all season. And not only
that, at that point, if you're, let's just say, when's your bye week? Week 6 or 7?
Seven.
Okay. So let's say you are 1-6. You bringing him back? Might as well shelf him then.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you're 1-6 and you're looking at your schedule coming out of the bye, you're probably gonna be 1-8 going.
That's what I'm saying.
0-2 against San Francisco and Buffalo.
You go back in the divisional play where you're 0-2 already as well.
The reality of the situation is the next 3 weeks, 3, 4, and 5, were as close to must win games for the Cincinnati Bengals as there is. Without sitting there and saying that their season relies on winning these three games, the Rams, so
let me ask you,
the Rams, yeah, Tennessee, and Arizona, they had to go 3-0.
Yeah. If he loses one of those, do you shelf him?
Would one I? Yes. Would yeah. I? Yes. Would Zach Taylor? No.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, would. Like I said, maybe I would shelf him one before the bye week and then see if he gets right coming back against San Fran.
I mean, I guess it really depends on how it feels over the next couple weeks. I mean, it's gonna linger. It's gonna be sore, but if there's no more pull in it, you know, maybe that week where he does nothing will be enough to get it right or fresh enough. You know, it's just we'll have to play devil's advocate when it comes to Joe Burrow the rest of the way.
Of course, and fantasy owners as well.
Yeah. Detroit Lions. C.J. Gardner Johnson was put on injury reserve earlier today. Obviously David Montgomery with the thigh. That means if he doesn't play, that's a Jahmyr Gibbs full send.
Yep.
They're missing, looks like three offensive linemen are questionable, four offensive linemen are questionable for the short week against the Green Bay Packers. Speaking of them, Christian Watson has not been medically cleared with the hamstring, so if you have him, put him in your IR spot because he's probably not playing. Yep. Aaron Jones was limited yesterday in the estimated practice report. Jair Alexander was a limited participation during practice. There's going to be a lot of guys that are dinged up because of the short week in that matchup. Sure. So if you don't have Jared Goff, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, Jordan Love, I don't necessarily know that I'm lighting Sam any LaPorta. People. Yeah, Sam LaPorta too. That's a, that he'd be a great play. He looked really good in the game this past weekend.
Some targets from this guy.
He is, and I think that's the thing.
In NFL in Manning's league, I had the Justin Fields DJ Moore experiment.
Oh God, Jesus, why?
So I don't know. I'm a sucker for fucking trying to be smartest guy in the room, I guess. But I picked up Goff and LaPorta.
Yeah. That was probably smart.
I was like, it saved me. I mean, I still lost because he had the Tyreek and Mostert show, but I kept it competitive.
Yeah.
Just because of those pickups. So, you know, if guys like that are out there, grab them now. Because if you're a Justin Fields owner, man, you're looking at yourself like, what am I doing?
Correct. All right. So, Indianapolis Colts, this is going to be an interesting one. They get the victory. Anthony Richardson still questionable. He is still in concussion protocol. Also, potentially the final week that Jonathan Taylor is on the physically unable to perform list.
Yeah.
He could pass his physical as early as Sunday, according to ESPN, that it says in that blurb right there. Could pass it on Sunday and is planning to return to action as first eligible in week five against the Tennessee Titans, according to Adam Schefter. Does he play a snap for the Indianapolis Colts, or is this a full send whenever he passes that physical?
Oh, they're punting. They have to. Like Craig says, you don't want that guy in that locker room. You don't.
If you do punt him, what do you want in return, and who are you trading him to?
Man, it's so funny. It's like we had this conversation a month and a half ago. If I'm Buffalo, I listen. Again, I don't know if they trade him within the division. I don't think that you want to send him to the Dolphins at this. I don't even think the Dolphins are interested. Pass. They just had two running backs rush for 600 yards.
Dolphins aren't in their division.
No, AFC.
Oh, conference. Yeah, I mean, there's a team in the conference that I think would be interested in trading for him because he's only under contract for how many more years?
I think this is last year. That's why I want to do it. They could franchise him. He was a rookie deal, 4 year, right?
Oh, yeah. I know a team that should trade for him.
Who?
The Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that's not bad. I didn't even think about that one.
Chubb goes down. Yeah. He's only under contract for a year. You franchise him. You put him together because that gives Chubb the ability to not have to rush through rehab if he sits the first couple weeks. Then you have a two-headed monster for a year. And then you address your situation of, am I trading the guy who tore his ACL or am I trading the young guy who's looking for a contract extension?
Well, I don't even think you have to worry about that because this is what, you know, the NFL is now with running backs is, I think Chubb is, what, 28?
Yeah.
Coming off an ACL, you think somebody's going to be throwing any millions at him anytime soon?
Not probably.
I mean, good luck, but if what you're saying makes sense, I keep Jonathan Taylor and say bye-bye to Nick Chubb.
Correct. Jacksonville Jaguars, Zay Jones is now questionable. They looked so bad against Houston.
Buddy, me and you talked about it. I was like, how is this line possible? I think this year their offense hasn't looked good at all.
They haven't been able to really get it out of first gear. It seems like they're just stalling out on a lot of drives that they should. And last year they were just punching the ball down the field.
And, you know, I was having a conversation, I think it might have been with Craig, about how it just looked like these first – except for the Dolphins, obviously. The first 2 weeks, it looks like the offense, all offenses were just off. It did look like the defense was faster and more sound than the – I don't know if it's the extra preseason game not being there, people just not playing as, you know, any preseason games. But it looked like offenses just did not catch up to the defense first couple weeks. And maybe some more weather and some more injuries, but it just
Well, I can tell you this, since I can tell you Joe Burrow played approximately zero preseason snaps, same as last year. Yeah. And they started 0-2 last year and 0-2 this year.
Yeah, so, you know, something to be said for it. And, you know, just something I noticed, and I don't know if you picked up on it as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The offense is, like, Cleveland last week against Tennessee finally looked like they started to click.
Yeah.
And Miami. And that was really it. Everybody else, they'd get towards the red zone and they'd stall. Cincinnati stalled five times.
Like driving the kicker football. Was MVP. I think exactly. He had five field goals, you know?
Yeah. And he missed the sixth one.
Yep.
Las Vegas Raiders, Jimmy Garoppolo is in the concussion protocol. I actually don't even know.
I was just going to say, who's the backup?
Let's see. I'm going to look right now. Depth chart, NFL. God damn it.
Obviously, it's not anybody we're going to suggest to pick up off the waiver wire.
No,
so
probably not.
We don't even know the person's name.
Oh, ageless wonder, Brian Hoyer.
Oh, okay. What's he, 43 years old now?
I'll take the over.
Take the over? Sounds about
maybe,
right.
I don't know. Let's check
on the player. Put the hook in there if you need it.
Brian Hoyer is 37 years of age.
He's getting there. He's getting there.
And they play the Chargers this week, so I wouldn't pick up Brian Hoyer.
I don't know. That defense is pretty bad. He could look good.
You're right. Never mind. Maybe I would.
He might throw for like 370 and four tutties.
Yeah. Chandler Jones, I saw yesterday that they put him in a behavioral
institution. Right. Have you been keeping up with that story?
I've kind of been.
Something that he posted on social media, and they did like a wellness check on my guy or something. Yeah,
wild. Hold on, let me.
It's like TMZ shit, and
yeah,
like the male Britney Spears version now. Like, what's he gonna do next?
I mean, that's kind of what they're saying. Hold on, I'm gonna go to his player profile on ESPN and start reading some of this crazy shit that's going on.
Yeah, he was shitting on his coaches. I'm not working with McDaniels. I'm not working with the owner.
I was hospitalized against my will.
Yep.
that was what came out yesterday.
Yeah.
He wrote on a social media post on Monday night that he was taken to a hospital against his will by the fire department and later transferred to a behavioral health facility last week. He's been away from the team since Labor Day, where he began a series of social media posts aimed at Mark Davis, the owner, David Ziegler, and Josh McDaniels. He wrote on Twitter, first day out, but I'm still aligned.
Yep. His chakras were centered.
Oh, okay. That's cool. he was there on a court hold of 5 to 7 days, saying, I haven't done anything wrong. He wrote that he means
probably somebody committed him or something at that point. If it's court ordered, somebody
he supposed he said that he wrote. Jones wrote that he called Ziegler 6 to 7 times asking for help, and I wonder if he had me put in here, but he never answered. He left voicemails trying to figure out why the Raiders won't allow him in the facility to be part of the team. It might be because you called out the owner and the head coach. I don't know. I'm not a smart man.
Money's on that, though.
Yeah. Chargers, Mike Williams, obviously, placed on injury reserve on Tuesday. Austin Eckler, still questionable. They also may be without safety Derwin James, who suffered a hamstring injury in the game against Minnesota. If so, and Garoppolo plays, you're a full send on definitely Devontae. If Hoyer is the quarterback, you have to play him. And I would even consider looking at the twos and the threes there, Hunter Renfrow, Jacoby Myers. Yeah. If Derwin James is out, because those might be guys that are fringe plays.
You know, we were talking about Jonathan Taylor, but there are, you know, whispers of Devontae trying to get the hell out of there too now.
Get him out. Get him the fuck out of there.
I mean, yeah.
He's going to waste his career.
That's not what I signed up for.
No, I signed to play with A.A. Ron, and then you fucking...
Yeah.
I left A.A. Ron to come play with...
Derek Carr, my buddy.
Derek Carr, and you sent him, so yeah. Fucking get me the fuck out of here.
I mean, I think he's 29, 30 now, so you got to get rid of him. If you can get something for him, get him, man. Get rid of him.
All right, let's play the Davante Adams game. Who That's trades for Davante Adams?
Man, if I was like San Fran, why not? You know what I mean?
Buddy, I mean, I know they're never trading him in the division, but I'm giving up 2 first-round draft picks if I'm the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, 100%. Even that makes the most sense. Can you imagine that tandem?
I need a wide receiver that's actually going to catch the goddamn football.
Like, Kelce and him just, you know, running routes together, that would be
insane. Hey, you want an offense that can stop the Miami Dolphins? Insert Davante Adams into that one. First one to 100 wins, go. Turn off the fucking
clock. That's why I said San Fran, too. Imagine him in that offense.
With Debo.
Adams, McCaffrey. It's like Madden team. You just created a Madden team.
Yeah, I just Madden Ultimate teamed myself to the fucking Super Bowl. Don't worry. Hold my beer.
As an Eagles fan, I would say, yeah, that's you know, why not?
I mean, honestly, when you're looking right now, I mean,
I don't think nobody would say no to Davante
Adams. I mean, honestly, the one team, like, all right. Random ringing. The Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
Pair them up with Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, and David Montgomery. I don't know that he would love Detroit, but
any offense you put him on. I mean, imagine Buffalo.
Yeah.
To me, that makes the most sense. I mean, it's any one of those AFC and NFC top contenders, man. If you got a shot to get Davante Adams, why not?
Yeah, why aren't we having this conversation? It's a conversation.
I don't think he's going to like Tennessee or anything. You know what I mean?
No, he's not Tennessee. He's not Jacksonville bound.
He wants a shot at something, obviously.
You know, Jalen Waddle's still in concussion protocol as of Monday. We'll see what he's able to do. Minnesota, nothing new there on the injury side. And same with the New England Patriots. They're kind of in a holding pattern. The Saints, Derek Carr with the sprained AC joint. Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback more than likely for the next couple weeks while he's out. Going to try to eat him some dubs.
Yep.
Yeah. We'll see what that holds. I'm not picking up Jameis Winston.
No. Unless you're in like 2 quarterback league and you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably 5 weeks or somebody gets hurt. I mean, if you have to, he's probably one of the better ones. I don't think there's like a Purdy or anybody else out there that's maybe a Mac Jones. I don't even think that. So that might be your best option. If let's say Gardner Minshew's already gone and, you know, some of the other ones that are playing well.
Let's take a look at our league real quick at just the quarterback positions at who's available. Yeah. Right now, available on ours, Bryce Young, Desmond Ridder, Josh Dobbs, Ryan Tannehill, Zach Wilson.
Sounds about right. the worst quarterbacks in the league.
That's where that is. Saquon Barkley is making progress in the injury to the ankle. I don't know if he plays this week. They are playing on Monday night. So
yeah.
I would say if you have him, make sure you have the handcuff. Make sure you have Matt Breida. Launch whichever one of them is going to be the guy starting that game. No new injuries for the Jets. The Eagles... nothing really new. Boston Scott, questionable. Yeah. Quez Watkins, questionable. Nothing new on that end. Same with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nothing really new here. You know, their punter suffered a hamstring injury. Oh, no. Guess we're going to have to get another one. The San Francisco 49ers. This one is a little bit more interesting. Dre Greenlaw, day-to-day with an ankle injury that he suffered in the game on Thursday against the Giants. Ayuk and Debo both not at practice on Monday. Ayuk with the shoulder, Debo with the ribs. Inevitably, I think that they're going to at least play some of that game, but they are playing the Arizona Cardinals. So if they get up big in that game, may not get a full game out of Debo and Ayuk. So that's something to keep an eye on. The Seattle Seahawks, nothing really of new note. It's still the same things. Jamal is questionable. Kobe Bryant's eligible or questionable. The offensive line guys are still dinged up. Nothing new in Tampa Bay. Nothing new in Tennessee and in Washington. Other news, Logan Thomas is questionable again because, you know, that's what Logan Thomas always is questionable.
He took a shot, though. He took a shot.
Yeah, he did. He got murked. I'm not going to lie. He definitely got murked. All right, let's talk before we get the hell out of here because we're going to make this one a short one because there wasn't really any injuries. There was nothing that we really need to go get, guys.
We talked about it. We said if you don't have them, then you ain't got them.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Daily Fantasy. Myself and Craig did this last week. Give me a quarterback that you feel like you need to start, and then a quarterback that you can get at fairly decent value to help save your budget.
Man, probably budget. I was, if Gardner's playing, it's, you know, let's take a shot on him.
5,100 is his value.
And, you know, probably Justin Herbert, if you had to have somebody just must start these days, it seems to be that dude.
Herbert going off at 7,800. Yeah. My spend the money if I have it, would also be Justin Herbert. My value guy this week is going to be Kenny Pickett at Houston, going off at 5,100.
That's good value.
They started moving the ball down the field more against the Raiders. And I hope that this is them understanding that they have guys with speed and Austin and Pickens and, you know, that they can press the ball down the field. So if I'm looking for value, my guy this week is Kenny Pickett. The running back position, the guy that I'm saying is an absolute fire start is probably going to be, oh man. I mean, on paper, it's obvious that it's Christian McCaffrey, but he's going off at 9,200.
Yeah.
So there goes all the budget that you saved from starting a decent quarterback. I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs against the Chargers. If I have to do someone that isn't Christian McCaffrey, and for a value, depending on which one, if either one of them, no, I don't really love that. And I really don't love Melvin Gordon being there either. You know what? Damian Pierce in that Houston Pittsburgh game going off at 5,100.
Stack him.
I mean, if for some reason CJ Stroud loves to dump the ball off, I mean, he's probably going to get you a couple goal line carries too. So,
yep.
He's got a shot at stealing a couple.
Yeah. I agree. If you had to spend the money, obviously McCaffrey, Tony Pollard's always seems to be a solid play these days. Tony P seems to be solid, and like you said, maybe a Melvin Gordon if you had to, just to see
if both of them are out.
Yeah,
I wouldn't launch him if either one of them plays, though.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, obviously we're making the decision Sunday morning.
Correct. Wide receiver position. I think we've talked about Keenan Allen being old man River, but he's going to be the guy, I think, in LA.
How long is the over under? What are we setting? How many games until he gets hurt?
I think he makes it to like week 7.
Okay.
Because they're just going to keep throwing him the ball 7,000 times a game. So he's probably eventually going to get dinged up. He's going off at 7,900 against Las Vegas this week.
Yeah.
He's a good play. My value guy, I'm because of the way that they use him in the offense, I'm going with Tutu Atwell.
I just picked him up.
5,500 on DraftKings going against Indianapolis. They use him out of the backfield. They use him in the spread. They screen the ball to him a lot. He's a guy that I think could be a lot of fun. Keep an eye on guys like Nico Collins and Hollywood Brown. Both of them had good games last week. And the week before, Tank Dell in Houston is a fun name. Adam Thielen at 4,500 in a revenge game against the Minnesota Vikings.
With the red rocket throwing it to him, man, he seems to be looking his way a lot. I don't know how many targets he had, but he definitely way up from when Bryce was back there.
Well, let's see. Adam Thielen in the game, he had 34 fantasy points. He had 11 catches for 146 yards on 14 targets.
14 targets. So I think before that, maybe 4 or 5. So, Andy's back there throwing it.
Yeah. Huck it up, chuck it up, fucking red rocket football. Before that, his best targets was 9 against 9. New Orleans in week 2, and he had 2 in the first game against Atlanta. That's what I'm saying. But I think that was because of the other bullshit that was going on behind the scenes. I don't necessarily know that he was fully there. Quentin Johnson is going off at 3,700.
And what's Palmer?
4. So
we didn't even talk about it too. Everett might be a great play for a tight end there just because.
I mean, Donald Parham, if they get in the red zone, he threw 2 touchdowns to him. Yep. I mean, I know he only had like four targets and two of catches were for four yards total, but
it's 12.
Two touchdowns. Yeah. Yeah,
that's
12. The other name, there's a name here that I think could be a lot of fun if I could find him, but I can't find him right now.
What team were you thinking?
Well, Marvin Mims is a fun play. He's going off at 3,900. All right. Rondale Moore.
Oh, do you mean the new split back in
the new Arizona. Debo Samuel of the Arizona fucking Debo Cardinals.
Samuel, the Arizona Cardinals.
Going off for 3,300 this week against San Francisco.
Dude, that might be the
play. If you're looking for value, I don't necessarily know that he's going to have the same game against San Francisco that he does against Dallas. But
you know they're going to try it.
So, I mean, and if it succeeds, that means he's going to be someone that's going to be more go up. So get the value while you can. Exactly. The tight end position, T.J. Hockenson, Dallas Goedert, they're finally throwing them the ball. Like we said, Gerald Everett, Donald Parham as value guys.
Sam LaPorta, my guy, throw him out there.
Yeah, especially if you're doing the Thursday only slate, Sam LaPorta is definitely a play. He's not in the one I'm looking at because it's the Sunday slate only.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're fine. Defense, we'll finish there. Honestly, if you're looking for to get points, Philadelphia against Washington, they're going off at 4,100. If you're looking for specifically just for value, I'd contemplate taking the Chicago Bears against the Denver Broncos because I don't think either one of those teams is any good.
Oof.
I mean, that's Denver.
Let me talk about that. Denver's like minus
three on the road.
Three on the road.
Cool. So they're a 6-point favorite.
Right. It's a pick at that point. You're telling me. Like, I'd rather pick Denver. I really would. Let's just be Justin Fields coming out party, too.
Buddy, we can't call this a coming out party. I mean, literally.
Dolphins just hung 70 on him.
That's what I'm saying. We can't call that a coming out party. If we're calling that a coming out party, then that was a Tua Tagovailoa coming out party.
Buddy, that was some video game shit, man.
I thought at one point Two Chainz glitched and went from the 30-yard line to the 60 to like to the other 30. I was like, how'd he get there so fast?
Nuts.
No, I heard they were talking and they said that now the Miami Dolphins have the five fastest run times.
Yes.
In football this season.
Yeah.
How the fuck are you that fast?
Because they were fast, not open.
They make fast open. People not look. They make fast people not look so fast.
I don't think anybody got touched in that game, dude. The punter didn't even punt. Field goal kicker did nothing but extra points. They hung 35, 10 touchdowns, my guy. 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
70 piece.
Oh, for sure.
I had Brandon, you know, it was his birthday the day before, and they, you know, we always in a group chat, you know, what's the score? Because I used to give him shit all the time when the Dolphins would win by, you know, 13-7 and 9-6.
Mm-hmm.
Typical, like, shitty Dolphin football that you watch early 2000s to, you know, up until last week. And, you know, I think at halftime he's like, what's the score? And I'm like, what, on Jake's fantasy team or in real life? Go,
yeah.
Fins up, man. Fins up. But we'll find out who they are this week. They play Buffalo. No more excuses. Last year it was back up in the playoffs. So, you know, you got Tua. You got him coming off that, you know, Madden game. Let's see what he does. In Buffalo, should be a great one.
Yeah, this one's going to be a real measuring stick for the Miami Dolphins.
This might be, you know, we talked about this yesterday. We saw a lot of top five power rankings where the Dolphins were one. And me and you were like, I'm not there yet. Best in the AFC, maybe, but I still think you put Philly and San Fran 1-2, however you want it.
Oh, yeah. And
KC still looks like the best team in the AFC, even though they lost to Detroit. Their defense is playing solid.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. When you go back and you look at the Dolphins' first three games, Chargers, no defense.
Nope.
I don't even remember who the fuck they played week two.
Who did they play week two? I forget. It was that wasn't the Jets, was it? No, I don't think they played AFC East.
Let's look.
Oh, Patriots.
Oh, cool.
Patriots at New England. I think they won by 7.
And then they blew out a team that has lost to the Vegas Raiders and the Washington Commanders.
Yeah.
Who actually got murked by 47 by that same Buffalo team the same Sunday. That's the thing that everyone wants to keep like forgetting about is like, hey, Miami scored 70. They scored 70 against a JV fucking football team.
But that defense gave up, dude. Gave up.
They gave up midway through the second quarter.
It was apparent, too.
They were like, hey, let's just not get hurt.
They didn't. Every clip you see, there's not even a defender around. If he is, he's on the ground.
Correct. Diving at ankles.
That's all he's doing.
Let's see. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, right now, according to ESPN analytics, 51% Miami, 48.6 Buffalo. The over-under currently for this game is set at 53.5. So, should be a lot of fun. We're going to score a lot.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show this week, guys. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Before we go, follow Huddle Up Inc., Big Jim Sports, his X/Twitter account. That has all the links for all the merchandise, all the other shows on the Huddle Up Incorporated feed. You can follow me on X/Twitter/whatever you want to call it at They Call Me Burn. I tweet every once in a while. Throw them up for Dez. Yeah, but other than that, guys, we appreciate you hanging out. We hope you win your fantasy weeks this week, and we'll be back next week for more right here on the FKC Fantasy Hour.